Welcome, everybody, to the Green Lantern Corecast. We are talking episode 2 of Lanterns, the HBO series about Green Lantern. We just watched the episode. It just ended as we're speaking. I am Naim Siddiqui. Joining me, as always, Brandon West. Brandon, how are you feeling about Lanterns?
Hey, it's still here. It's still around. It's a solid 8-7. it's fine. It's totally fine.
You don't sound enthused. Okay, well let's do a quick recap, and then we'll talk a little bit about what happened, or like we'll talk a little bit about our feelings on the episode. And as always, Brandon, feel free to interrupt me during this recap if something you want to talk about. We start. Hal throws a bucket of water on John to wake him up and give him his first flying lesson. Finally, and then instead of flying, John makes a bird. And Hal says, all right, well, I booked you tickets back to Coast City to go get my lantern. Cause I didn't expect you were actually going to fly, and that didn't happen. And also take the bird with you, and bring the bird back. And then, John goes off and takes a plane back to Coast City. And Hal looks for the sheriff so he can talk to her about something. The ring runs out of juice while he's flying and he falls to the ground. And then finds they're at a town meeting of sorts to discuss what's happening in the town. Are they going to play the football game? When Kelly MacDonald goes, coach, I really expected Kyle Chandler to stand up. Because that's Coach Taylor. anyway, Hal and Billy Macon, who is Jason Ritter's character, have a conversation interrupting what's going on. And then Hal gets a phone call from John saying, hey, I'm here. I can't find why do you live in a giant house? What the hell's going on here with your mansion that seems completely unlived in? He's like, I got a bed. And then we see pictures of Hal with the Pope and the cast of Harry Potter.
I didn't peep that part.
yeah.
I saw the Pope. I didn't peep the Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's the Harry hilarious. Potter right before that. Which is funny. I was having a discussion with somebody about this the other day, they were saying they think they use Harry Potter because of brand synergy. And I was like, no, I think it is just kind of the best choice for that. It makes sense. They're talking about school. Like they're talking about Nebraska. Oh, where did Harry Potter go to school? But then a shot with literally the cast of Harry Potter. I'm like, maybe, I don't know, maybe it is brand synergy.
I don't know. Where was Harry Potter in 2016? No, this would be 2016. Is that the
this
time
is 2016.
Where,
yeah. This episode takes place in 2016. I should mention. It's a photo of him at like the premiere with the main three, right? Emma Watson and Rupert Grint and Daniel Radcliffe. So like it must be from like the premiere of, you know, one of the later movies, because the last one was like 2011, I think. Anyway, this is not important. This is in no way important to the episode. John goes into Hal's closet and finds not only his lantern that is in a pocket dimension in a safe, which is I don't understand everything going on with that. But also suits on hangers.
Multiple suits,
and they are on hangers. And I want to pause and talk about that.
It's a good starting spot. Okay, let's dive into design first, right?
Sure. We see a lot more of the suit now than we did in just like the, you know, shoulder of or whatever in the 60 Minutes interview. It's still, I think, not great. No. I think a little bit, I feel a little bit better about it, but I think it's still not good. Like, I'm still not super happy about it.
I think it's part of the aesthetic of the show that ruins it, right? Because it's like, it's too normal. It's too casual. And then it's got random shoulder blade here.
And a couple of different shades of green, and that's a little bit like, okay, I feel like
in action with the green aura that we expect and all that, it might look fantastic,
right?
But as of right now, suits on hangers, awful.
Suits on Hangers is crazy to me, because that's like that feels like such a core piece of Green Lantern lore, of like the suit is.
It's also, you know, what the opposite of Superman, right? Because Superman was always jump in a phone booth and change and go.
Yeah.
This is, I got my ring, I'm good, right? Yeah. This is, I got to have a duffel bag.
Right.
I got to have my suit pressed and cleaned. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah, I'm really confused. I'm really confused about that.
A horrible choice.
Because horrible choice. You know, and it's one thing, like, if it was just this show, if it was just a show, then I'd be like, okay, fine, I can deal with like this being a whatever alternate universe thing. This is part of the greater universe. So like now you're establishing that this is, unless John is special or maybe Hal is special, or because we do get some hints of John having some special things to him in this episode, which we'll talk about in a second. But like maybe Hal just like does that where like he wants to put on a suit, but like also he seems to be pretty pissed off about it. Like, so I don't get it. I don't understand the choice. And
well, we discussed last week that the era of the suits changed over time, right? Mm-hmm. So that might lend itself to suits on hangers.
Sure.
But
although they all look like the same.
They all look the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird choice to make.
And like, and then the question is like, we know there's a Green Lantern core and there's Green Lanterns. Oh, he doesn't say, that's another weird thing. In the first episode, he says, I'm Green Lantern representative of Green Lanterns. Like, why not say
like
core?
He was hesitant to say core, which sucks because we're the greenlanterncore.com. I know. We're the Green Lantern Core cast. Like,
www.thegreenlanterncore.com. Check out our site.
Maybe they're doing it because they don't own the website.
I mean, we're the Green Lantern. Who owns Green? Because I'm sure somebody else owns GreenLanternCore.com, and it might be Warner Brothers. And I'm sure it's when Andrew bought the site, it was
absolutely sure it's nobody. And if it's not, it'll be us in a minute.
Let's see, GreenLanternCore.com.
Absolutely not a thing.
Somebody owns it. There's nothing there. Okay, but somebody owns it. Look, Andrew, who owns our website, is not so dumb that he wouldn't try to buy GreenLanternCore.com first, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's not an idiot. Anyway, John, you know, holds the suit up to himself in the mirror to be like, is this me? It's an interesting thing that this show does, that from youth, John Stewart is clearly a fan of Green Lantern. Like, that's something that he is interested in. Like, that's why he's watching the 60 Minutes thing. And so introducing that as something to the, for the character of like, you know, they're clearly butting heads, but like, it's also John reconciling, this guy used to be my hero and now I'm supposed to be, you know, like, it's, I don't know. It's a cool, I think it's a cool thing the show is doing. We didn't really talk much about the last episode. Anyway, while Hal is on the phone with John, he's also grabbing all the alien corpses and shoving them into the car. Before that, he also did go to the football field and like take the whole grill
drag.
Off of the.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, first he took the grill off of the rental car and tried to take.
In my head, and this is Zack Snyder's fault. I was like, oh, what a great shot for Corolla, Toyota, to just have the front of the grill and walk in towards the camera. But then they had the scene where Hal pulls up to the ranch and there's this giant Ford logo. I'm like, who's getting paid here?
It's a good question, to be honest. Maybe they both got paid.
They both paid
some money. Yeah. I think, by the way, for what it's worth, we didn't talk about this last episode either, but I think it's you know, the fact that he rented a Toyota is like a part of John's, like, you see the car that Hal drives and is happy to crash, and then you see that Hal, you know, John rents the most sensible car there possibly could be, like a Toyota car. I drive a Toyota Corolla and I only drive it because it's a sensible car. I don't like that I drive a Toyota Corolla. I drive a lot and it gets 55 miles to the gallon because it's a hybrid. So anyway, yeah, Hal drags the bodies to the football field and then takes them to the to what's purportedly a metal detector, but is revealed then to be clearly an alien detector. Then he gets pulled over by Sheriff Kane, who says, clearly has alien corpses in the car.
He says, is this the insurance or is this about me?
Is not on the insurance. Yeah.
Is this about me not being on the insurance? It is pretty much exactly what it looks like.
Good. He is, it's funny. He is very clearly an asshole in episode one. He's so much more of an asshole in this episode. Like
when he walks into the town meeting and is immediately like,
were you talking about me? You were talking about me.
Mwah.
Yeah. Mwah. Yeah. Yeah. Just
loved it. You were talking about me.
So then Sheriff is like, all right, fine, I'll take you to go see my father-in-law. It's not going to go well. He goes on to the ranch, and Garrett Dillahunt, our favorite actor from the show, Garrett Dillahunt says, yeah, you did what I asked you to do. Why are you still here? And also, don't come on my ranch anymore. Like, we were good for a day. We're good, man. I'm fine. I don't need you anymore.
I will shoot you.
I will shoot you. And he's like, you won't shoot me. I got a Green Lantern. And then he gets shot like straight through and through the shoulder. Meanwhile, John back in Coast City is putting the key back in the rock. He's got his duffel bag with the lantern in it, and he gets attacked and kidnapped. And while they are driving him down the highway, he busts out and causes a massive like a ton of accidents.
I would be so mad if I was driving on that freeway. So mad.
Down the 405 or whatever. Yeah,
just shout out to John Stewart for no fear, because
no fear, true.
By the way, also run the opposite direction on the highway and not panic.
Also, great run. I think he did some good running. Like, it's tough to, like, he's look good running on, yeah, but like, I mean, like, for Aaron Pierre, like, it's tough to look good running on camera. Like, some actors are good at it, some actors are less good at it. It sure depends. I think I really could see the like military training background in Aaron Pierre's run is my point. So shout out to that from Aaron Pierre. I'm sure we'll talk more about Aaron Pierre later on. So it turns out the people who kidnapped him are aliens. I don't think they actually say their name. It's in the subtitles. No. It's like Antaran or something like that.
I don't know if that was that their name or his name?
His name. Yeah. That's what I mean.
His name is like Anton or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out to him. He's from The Wire. That's how I know him from.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. So they've got him tied up. They say, hey, it's really impressive that you made a bird. Like that's not something. And also, they don't point it out specifically, but it is kind of pointed out that like Hal's ring is out of power and the bird was made from Hal's ring, which has no power and is still being kept alive by John's will. So I'm wondering if, something there's got to tie, like he's chosen by the Guardians, obviously, like something is going to tie in,
It's very, very confusing because they thought, just like I thought, that Hal was fucking with John. And he was like, that's my construct. This was my assumption, was that this is Hal's construct thoroughly being concentrated on across a great distance until he got shot. And I was like, why is that bird still there? Oh, this is actually John's.
Well, I mean, John gets knocked out a couple times too.
That's true. When he wakes up, he asks about the bird.
Yeah. 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 And
which is why I thought it was Hal's.
but it is also clear that as soon as he asks about the bird and Anton reveals that the bird is okay, then the bird starts doing it seems clear to me the bird is acting on John's will, especially in that moment. The bird starts moving around to confuse them and like kind of pecks on the driver and whatnot. Anyway, Anton tells John that he's an alien and that the four aliens, and I believe I certainly the four aliens, I'm not sure about the fifth alien, but certainly the four aliens, I assume the fifth, I assume like the one who's not racist, the one from the interrogation is also part of their crew, but he wasn't detected by the alien detectors, which we learn in the next scene. So I'm interested in like what that means and why he wouldn't have been, like, you know, why that's separate. He reveals essentially that they were there to find a manhunter in Rushville, Nebraska, because they know the manhunter is there. They don't know who the manhunter is. The manhunter could be anybody in town. They just know the manhunter is there, and that they can't go there without being detected, because that's what happened. They just did. And so they're telling John he needs to go. And they tell some lore of the Manhunters existed before the Green Lantern Corps. And we don't know who created them. We know who created them.
We don't.
We read comic books. We don't know who created the Manhunters. They existed before the Green Lanterns. They went crazy. They started killing people. They were destroyed, but apparently one remained. They did a genocide. I believe they specifically say a Holocaust on Anton's home world. Then they show John through their alien technology, you know, he gets to experience it in some way. And they're like, we need you to find the Manhunter. You have 48 hours. Don't tell Hal Jordan. Back in Rushville, Hal is recovering from the gunshot wound, apparently incredibly quickly. He's in that hospital for, I don't know, a couple of hours, like tops.
Yeah.
Sheriff Kane is there waiting for him, and they start asking each other questions. She says, why are you still in town? He's like, there's something going on. I just know it. He's like, why, if you knew there were alien detectors, why did you have a jurisdiction battle with me? Which I'm really glad that he asked, because I was wondering the exact same thing. I was like, you have alien detectors, so you know there's aliens. So like, why are you, you know, strong arming him? But it's just because the one alien, the Waylon Sanders alien, did not set off the alien detectors, and so she was pretty sure that he wasn't an alien, unlike the other four who were. So there's that. All that happens, and then they this seems important, is that as they're leaving the hospital, Hal sees that there's been no other patient visitors, sign-ins or sign-outs, and basically all of the equipment in the hospital looks brand new, untouched. And he's like, what's going on? And she's like, I don't know. People don't go to the hospital here. Also, she's from Gotham. She moved here from Gotham recently.
With the last name Kane.
Right, with the last name Kane. Yeah. So is there a connection there to the Gotham Kane family? I'm sure they're clearly hinting at it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely on purpose. John returns from Coast City. He takes a cab, shows up in a diner, and who is there but Macon's wife, Zoe? Small town. We're bound to run into each other. He's like, I wouldn't have slept with you if I knew you were married. She's like, we kind of got an arrangement. It's fine. Don't worry about it. And then he's like, I don't know if I can trust Hal Jordan. She's like, if you don't know, then that's your answer. Also, you know, he's like, I think your husband's super weird. And she's like, I'm just into weird guys, clearly. She doesn't say that. I do like the moment where he's like,
how's your white guy?
Yeah, she's like, how's your white guy? How's your white man?
He told me to go fetch his things. Great.
Fuck myself. Yeah. John comes back to the motel. There's a little bit of tension between him and Hal. He gives him the ring. Hal very perfunctorily says the oath and recharges his ring, like,
bright as day and black as night. No evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light.
Oh, if he could give less fucks.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, again, an interesting contrast with the way he got so mad at Waylon last episode. Like,
is it the procedural of it? Like, oh, I hate having to charge my ring. I hate having to say the oath to charge my ring. Like, it's irritating to him, or is it something about the oath that pisses him off?
Or is it just like, I don't know. In some ways, it's like the oath feels sacred to him that like we can, like, I, you know, it's like.
I thought you were going to go there.
No. No, actually, I was going to say, like, as like a Muslim person, right? Like as a person of a religion, like I can make fun of it, but you can't make fun of it. You know, like that kind of thing of like, I cannot care about the oath, but if you make fun of it, then you can go fuck yourself. Like, you know, like that kind of thing. Like it could be something like that of like, I'm allowed to be jaded because I have lived with this for 40 years. But I don't know. You know, it could be something else. John immediately, like, you know, with a little bit of hesitation, but then immediately tells Hal, like, hey, here's exactly
after
what happened.
The alien goo in the car. So I guess he thought, hey, Hal's still investigating this. Sure. So clearly he knew something was up.
Sure.
Maybe that was like, okay, I decided. I don't know why that seemed like a moment for him to give in and tell him. But
I think that makes sense of like, if he's working this hard, then like, you know, it doesn't feel like it's, I mean, they talk a little bit about what they've been doing.
You without... recently tortured man, right?
Yeah.
Why? And obviously these guys are Holocaust survivors. Why immediately be like, you know what? I think I do trust this asshole. Like, I don't know.
Well, because I mean, like, it's not like John knows him that well personally, right? Like, he's been training under him for 2 months, but like he says to the alien.
2 months is not a long time.
I agree. He says to the alien, like, we're not close at all. But he has been a hero on Earth for 40 years, right? Like he hasn't known him, but he's known of him. He's like, you know, unless he's turned or something, but like John still feels like he trusts the Guardians to some extent, which I guess, you know, we know the Manhunter's history. They don't.
So you're thinking John respects the title Green Lantern more than
I think he does respect Hal, right? Like he says in the interrogation scene, he's like, I do respect him, right? I think they're budding. He doesn't like him, but he respects him, is I think where it's at, where he's like, you are still, like, at the end of the day, you're still the guy. You're still the person who is going to be able to investigate this. And so I'm, you know, and maybe it is a bit of the alien goo being like, he clearly is still like, yes, he sent me away, but like he did need, like he wanted, like, I think it's a little bit of, cause the whole episode has been like, Hal sent me away. He wanted me out of his way, which I don't think is untrue, but it's also to some extent, he wanted to keep investigating and keep being a presence in town and also clearly needed his battery, you know.
Things can be true.
Yeah, so I think John's kind of realizing that, like, of course he was sending me away, but also he wanted to be a presence and needed his battery, so like there was like a function to me going away. It wasn't just he was sending me on a errand. There's a lot of things going on in that moment that are kind of hard to tell. By the way, we get nothing of 2026 in this episode. Not a moment in 2026 in this episode,
which is fine.
Sure, that's fine. I think it's fine too, but like, yeah, it's you know, with the way that last episode ended to then give us none of that is like,
just okay, know that it's shock value.
Sure. Yeah. John also has brought back the suit, even though Hal told him not to. John also mentions that aliens told him that the making the bird construct is a big deal, and Hal, like, you can see, I mean, you can see in the beginning of the episode, even I rewatched the beginning of the episode while you were watching the episode, that you can see in Hal's eyes that when John makes the bird, there is clearly something. He's like, oh, like, damn, like there's something going on here. And at the end of the episode, John is like, hey, give me some props. And Hal doesn't really give him props. He gives him some sarcastic props. And like, truly, that whole moment, I was like, okay, now just give him props. Like, you're going to do it now, right? No? Okay. All right. Fine. Like, I thought it was going to be like, hey, good job. You know, like, just a little, you know, like, just an inch. Give him an inch. Like, John, I feel like John is giving Hal an inch and Hal's not giving John an inch. And it'll happen.
John gave Hal a mile
when
he told him that information.
I agree. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, but, even tells Hal, he's like, they told me not to tell you. They told me not to tell you, and I am telling you.
Which Hal does not care about. Like,
sure.
That part of the information dump, he could care less about. It was the fact that he mentioned Manhunters, which is like, hey, yo, we got a problem here.
Right. So anyway, so John goes back into his motel room. Hal goes back into his room, puts the suit on. Oh, I forgot to mention that in the hospital scene, while Hal was asleep, he was saying the name Sinestro. And Sheriff Kane is like, hey, you were saying Sinestro a bunch, and I Googled him. Like, all the information is public somehow. Like, everybody knows everything about Sinestro.
I mean,
what does Sinestro's Wikipedia page look like in the DC universe?
Probably a lot like Adolf's.
Well, no, because like, they have a lot less information on him, you know? Like,
I don't know.
On Khorugar, like, it looks a lot like Adolf, but on Earth?
Word travels fast when you're Adolf.
Sure. I don't know. Earth is kind of a backwater. Like,
true.
Anyway, so Hal puts that suit on, flies out to space, arrives on some place. I don't know if that's supposed to be Oa or not, but there are science cells there, or, you know,
the equivalent of
you know, some sort of prison. It's either it's Oa or it's a prison planet. He goes in, says, I'm Hal Jordan. The door opens, and who is in the cell? It's Sinestro. And Hal's like, tell me about Manhunters. And Sinestro says, Manhunters are the number two threat to you, so you tell me about John Stewart. And that's where the episode ends. And then we hear Brandon's new favorite song, Human Condition by Pretty Sick.
It's a pretty sick song. Pretty sick song. I was like, this should be the theme.
We did get a little bit of music.
We got a tune.
We got a tune.
Yeah.
More than nothing. Truly, the last episode was just
title.
Like, it was wind. So we got a tune. What do you think about the tune, Brandon?
The tune was fine. Very disappointing.
Yeah.
That's fine. Because the tune matches the town. So it's like, I know season two is not going to be in fucking Nebraska, so.
Sure.
Meh.
Is season two going to be in 2017? Like, are we going to do 10 years, like, so we can keep Kyle Chandler around?
We'll have to see when the mystery solve.
When the season finale is. Yeah.
Right.
So let's.
I start with the most important thing.
Mogo doesn't socialize. That ruled. I was so happy when he said that, when that was his passphrase. That ruled. That was so good.
Greetings, Hal Jordan. To access the vault, please confirm identity.
Ready.
Mogo doesn't socialize.
I wanted to turn around. Okay. Insight to my life. I'm sitting on the edge of the bed watching this because I'm a nerd.
Sure.
Right? I wanted to turn around to my wife who's laying in bed, like, and just lore dump.
Yeah.
Like, explain a joke.
So Alan Moore wrote a comic. Alan Moore, he's this really weird guy.
Big beer.
So you know Watchmen, right?
No, she doesn't. Anyway, great reference.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I want to start with the pocket dimension. Just
sure.
Not that we didn't touch on it before, but
yeah, we mentioned
what
it
a
last
weird
episode.
Decision.
It's a weird decision, yeah, to have the pocket dimension, but have it be
in a
just
safe
there. Like, it's all you can't just access it from anywhere. Because, like, or
I
maybe,
understand that. I don't like the idea of being mid battle and being like, huh, shroom.
Sure,
that's a bit weird, a bit easy.
But then, like, then why even have it? Is the thing.
I mean, because pocket dimensions are cool.
Yes. Well, I guess, I mean, like, I can sort of see from, like, from a logistical standpoint of if somebody somehow gets into the safe, right? They see what John sees, which is just, like, nothing.
Pitch black. Yeah.
And so then, like, you know, like, it's just an extra added layer of security. It's like, it's, you know, they have one layer of the safe and then one layer of the pocket dimension. So but I can see that, but
you could take the safe anywhere. It wasn't like this massive thing. You could take the safe and be like, all right, I'm gonna, like, cause I don't know. It was a weird decision to put it in a safe.
Yeah.
Cause safes can be mobile. And sure. It's like, you could have took that safe with you, buddy. So we're here. Why does Hal live in this extraordinary house?
Yeah, I mean, they explain a thing, right? There's like, yeah, I saved a guy's, like, but like, what's the, I don't know, what's the decision? And like, is that true?
Why does he barely live there or move in, like John said?
Yeah, I mean, that feels like this version of
on brand. Yeah,
right. He says he's been there for 8 years, right? So it's
I think Jeff Johns wrote something similar when I think this was post Blackest Night, where Hal got evicted because he was never in his apartment.
Sure.
Yeah. So I understand.
Yeah, but, I mean, I can completely understand like Hal. You know, he's like, and especially this feels like a Hal who's very like he's put everything into like he's you know very few attachments on Earth. So, like, it's just he's there to sleep when he's on Earth, and otherwise he's spending a lot of time in space or whatever, which is more of a Kyle thing, actually, but it's fine.
Okay. Manhunters.
Manhunters, which we did technically, you know, we don't watch trailers, and we saw very little stuff, but, like, that was known. Everybody but us knew that.
okay, cool. I zero clue.
Yeah. Zero clue. Yeah, all the podcasts I'm listening to. Like, I think I'd heard it, you know, because I avoid stuff, but I'm so engrossed in stuff that, like, I'm going to catch stuff anyway. But, yeah, so I did catch that. So we did know that Manhunters were in the show. But I think it's cool to have that be the first villain. I think it's a cool choice.
I think it's cool the way they're doing it. I don't know if that's because this is, and this is going to touch on something that you and I hold deep. This is what Secret Invasion should have been like.
Sure. Yes, absolutely. Which by the way, yeah. And that's kind of the thing is like, is this whole town aliens? Like, is everybody like,
you think the hospital it would be that deep?
Well, like, something is up with Rushville. Something is going on because, like, the one person who we're supposed to trust is the sheriff
gang, who's out of town, who's not from Rushville. Okay,
he's not from town, not from around mm-hmm. here. Everybody else is kind of sketchy, a little bit less so. Like Billy Macon's a little less sketchy, but like everybody else is like pretty sketchy, and like, you know, there's nobody in the hospital, nobody's visiting. Like, it's just, you know, it's really interesting. But like, also, she has a kid with Billy. So like, yeah. What's the, like, she's been there for some time,
at least 8 years.
or like, did Billy move? Like, you know, was Billy in Gotham and they had a kid, and then she and Billy moved back to his hometown?
I doubt it. She seems to be a runaway.
Sure. Maybe, but, yeah. I don't know. So, like, I'm really fascinated by all of that stuff. Like, there is something in Rushville. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I just don't. The hospital scene was really like, what are we doing here? And, like, the fact that, like, literally everybody's at the town meeting, you know? Like,
yeah. Which I thought was the explanation for why the hospital was empty initially. It was, like, sure. Everybody's in one centralized location.
Yeah, but somebody's going to be in the hospital.
You would think, I don't know, man. I tried to rationalize it while I was watching. I was like, how do small towns operate? Like,
there's gonna be like a doctor on duty.
I figured you would just have a small hospital, something like that. But also,
the fact that was like, right? You know, not only was like there nobody in the hospital, like all of the equipment was unopened, and there were like nobody,
no
in the
previous
log.
Chicken.
Literally,
yeah.
Zero. It's like, it's the thing where like when you, because I actually wouldn't have even clocked it. If he hadn't flipped through the pages.
Flipped the pages.
Because
yeah.
It's one of those things where like if you're like watching a movie and somebody's doing a text message, it's always their very first text message, to their best friend in the world. like, yeah, we've known each other for 15 years, but my but I have never texted you in my life. so I would, you know, like my first thought would be like, it's just one of those, like, yeah, they weren't really thinking about it. But then it, like, if he flips, I'm like, oh, okay, there's something up with this. Like, there's a reason that, yeah. So yeah, it's
so that makes you think the whole town's aliens. Then why have the alien detector?
Well, I think they're one kind of alien.
Okay, so, or hear me out. Maybe I'm reverse engineering this. You have the alien detector.
Yeah.
So when it doesn't go off, then you know that's odd.
Well, no, because when Hal
right? because if it's set to one specific, no, I'm saying you got an alien detector at a football game.
Yeah.
And if you assume the whole town's alien, right? If it doesn't beep, or if it does beep, you know it's a different kind of alien. It may be a human alien when the sheriff walks in, or it may be.
Again, it didn't beep when Hal went through. So whatever it is, it definitely doesn't beep for humans, and then whatever the other aliens might be, right? If there's other, you know, like, yeah, assuming my theory is correct, if they're.
Yeah, I don't think your theory is correct.
I don't necessarily think my theory. I just, there's something weird. Like, again,
it is weird.
I keep going back to the hospital of like, there's nothing in the, like, it seems like nobody has ever been to, not that nobody's at the hospital, it seems like nobody's ever been to the hospital.
Yeah, you know, that is legit a mystery. I don't know if that correlates to your theory though.
Sure. I just like, what else could it be if nobody's ever been to the hospital? Like, there's never been a single visitor in this hospital, you know? Like,
I mean, maybe they just refreshed the pages. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. That's exactly what's going on. Yeah. By the way, I do want to say, because I didn't put this together when we were talking last episode, but John brings up being a vegan again. And it's specifically,
I'm sick of this meat. Yeah,
specifically,
I used to be a hamburger.
I used to also be a big burger guy. Because and that's because he had burgers with his dad right at the end of the William Tell scene, where his dad shoots the apple off his head. The very normal thing that happens in John's life. He takes him for burgers. So like maybe, but like again, he still talks to his dad. I don't know. I'm fascinated.
It's not a normal dynamic.
No, of course not. That's some weird shit. To be clear, it's not a normal dynamic.
If your father shoots apples off your head, call the police.
Call somebody. Call the police. Call CPS. Call a trusted adult. Tell your teacher.
Tell your teacher.
So, by the way, speaking of tell your teacher, I do want to, you know, I texted you when this happened is when I went to Red Robin a couple of months ago and I was wearing my Green Lantern t-shirt. And as I was walking out, this kid who had to have been like 8 years old, like I held the door for this family, the father and two kids, and the son who was like 8 years old was like, thanks, Green Lantern guy, which was really cute and adorable. But like that kid cannot watch this show. Like,
I mean, least of all for the shooting apples off.
Yeah, no, for sure. Least of all for the apples. They curse mostly a lot. There was for a sex scene.
I was gonna say for Jack Nathan.
For Jack Nathan's, yeah. But like, it's, you know, it's an interesting thing of like, Man of Tomorrow comes out next year, right? And Jon Stewart's supposed
Does it?
To be.
Are they I filming so. Right now?
I think so.
Not next year.
Man of Tomorrow comes out.
They would have to be filming
July
now.
9th, 2027.
Jesus, James is...
Moving fast. Yeah. To be fair, though, that's the same gap between Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2. It's just there wasn't also
other stuff between those two. Did Superman not run out... I mean, Superman not come out last year?
Superman came out 25, yeah.
That's insane. That's... Maybe it's because the Batman took 4 years decide to film, but that seemed extremely fast.
Again, Iron Man was 08. Iron Man 2 was 2010. There was just no other movies between the two except for Incredible Hulk. And then Iron Man 3 was 2013. So that was, you know. But my point is that like if a kid watches like Man of Tomorrow, right? And they see Jon Stewart and they're like, oh, what else is Jon Stewart in? Let me watch his origin story. And then the first like, 20 minutes in, their parents are like, that guy's having sex. Like, you cannot watch this, you know? Like, how old your kid's like 13, right? You would not let him watch this show.
My kid is 16, so yes, I would let him watch this show.
Would you let him watch this show?
16? Yeah. Okay. He's watching Invincible. Yeah. He's watching Star Wars shit.
Okay.
Yeah. What were you doing at 16? No, personal.
Oh, anyway. No. I was watching shows like this, but my parents weren't letting me watch them.
Sure. Sure. Understood. Yeah.
My mom wouldn't let me watch Futurama. Like,
Futurama's not a kid show.
Sure. But I was a teenager. I was like trying to watch Futurama. And she's like, I don't think it's appropriate. I'm like, I'm 15 years old, mom. Like, I can watch Futurama.
Good job, mom. Good job.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying she's wrong. But anyway, it's just, it's a thing we haven't really talked, like, the tone of the show is very not appropriate for younger. And like, it's, you know, it's very like Supergirl for its faults is Supergirl and Superman are generally appropriate for younger kids. Right. And, you know, the TV shows, Lanterns, Peacemaker, I haven't seen Creature Commandos, but like, they are not.
Is that a, I don't want to blame the network, or is that catering to the network? Because you're on HBO, you can get away with that. So let's do it.
It's interesting.
Or do those properties lend itself to it? Because that.
Well, I don't think Green Lantern specifically lends itself to it. You know, I think that.
As my hero, Grant Morrison, apparently said that, you know, this show doesn't, you know, it's not a space show. It's not a, you know, it doesn't lend itself to darkness either. But,
right.
You know, everything can be dark if you want. Batman is a guy running around in a, you know.
And for, I'm not even saying the show is necessarily dark, right? It's just like, it's just adult.
Mature, for sure.
Yeah, mature. Yeah, for sure. And you know, I think whereas like Marvel, when Marvel does mature stuff, right? Like stuff like Wonder Man or Daredevil or Deadpool, like those are, I think they're all good. Or enjoyable, but they are disposed. Like if a kid doesn't see Daredevil Born Again, they're not going to be confused when they go into Avengers Doomsday, you know? Or even like if they don't see Punisher One Last Kill, they're not going to be confused when they go see Spider-Man Brand New Day. And I don't think a kid's going to be confused seeing Superman. No. I just think like, you know, this like Peacemaker feels like it might be more essential. You know, or Lanterns might even feel like it's more essential, but you are saying outright, this is not for a younger audience. It's only for a mature audience. And, you know, I wonder what that means for the, like,
I think, I think it's fine. It's fine.
We got dicks all around, you know,
we certainly got full frontal. Yeah.
Full frontal. Morgue penises.
Alien morgue penises.
Well, they're human penises.
Yeah, but they're technically aliens.
Sure.
That's why you can get away with it.
You can get away with it because you're on the home box HBO. Office network. you can get whatever the fuck you want on HBO.
They encourage it, actually.
Yeah, they kind of want it. I mean, that's the thing, right, about the Jon Stewart sex scene is like, is that HBO kind of wants you to throw a sex scene in, you know? Like,
no, I think that works because they, but like, you know, obviously they bumped into each other again.
Sure, so but like you can end that scene like in another show, in a show that's not on HBO, that scene maybe ends with them in bed and she's got the blanket over her and he's got it down, you know, like the L-shaped blanket. And it's clear they just had sex and now she's smoking as opposed to actively showing the sex, you know, like. That's the difference between a TVMA show and a TV-14 show, you know?
Very true.
All right, well, let's talk. Do you want to start with Sinestro? Okay, let's start with Sinestro. Yeah, for sure.
No big head.
No, well, I mean, it's normal.
It's just a forehead. It's just a big forehead.
Sure.
Elongated
head. I'll tell you what. I think he looks like David Niven.
David
Which
Niven,
is what Sinestro is supposed to look like.
You think like, this guy looks like what?
Like David Niven. He looks like the actor David Niven, and Sinestro was designed to look like David Niven. That's all.
Okay. Sure.
I saw him and I was like, you know what? He looks like the inspiration for Sinestro, which is David Niven.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought David Niven was David, what's his name? Thulis?
Oh, no. No.
In which case, I was like, no, he doesn't, but he would be a great Sinestro.
He would be a good Sinestro.
Yeah, no. Odd, right?
You know what surprised me, actually, is that he had a very, like, he seems to have an Americanish accent. Like, did his accent strike you at all? The actor is Danish.
I didn't pick up on that.
It didn't, like, I hear Sinestro with a British accent, obviously, and in
most,
and like
in he's the, a villain, so sure. Most people do.
And like in the Green Lantern, you know, in the 2011 movie, it was Mark Strong, and like it just like the, you know, the language he uses, like he feels kind of British. So I was a little surprised to like by the choice to have him not have a British accent, I guess. Not a big deal. It's just like that's the thing that struck me first was like, oh, okay.
Are you surprised that episode 2 Sinestro?
No, that was my prediction. I nailed that one.
You didn't expect it.
I did. I absolutely expected it. I absolutely expected episode 2. But
I would say dartboarding at this point.
I would say after episode 1, I might have adjusted the prediction to be like, I don't know if we're going to see Sinestro by the end of episode 2. And even like, actually, I would say even in the middle of this episode, like it felt like he's maybe an episode 3 or 4 kind of person. And the fact that like, you know, in the middle of the episode, they bring up Sinestro. I was like, okay, cool. We're going to see him soon, but not right away. And then right away, it's like, no, we're seeing him at the end of this episode, bro.
Why now? Why doesn't Hal go to the Guardians?
I think there's some distrust there. I think like clearly, you know, I think, to me, it seems like that's like the Guardians picked John because they don't like, there's something about the two that's not getting along. The Guardians don't like Hal. Hal doesn't like the Guardians. He's avoiding going to the Guardians. So I think that's what it is. One thing I will say is that Sinestro was credited as a main character in this episode. Yeah. Where previously he was believed to be recurring, and then like again, main and recurring mean different things now because Nathan Fillion's also main and he has not been in the show yet. I thought he was going to be like, I thought they were going to cut to 2026 this episode and he was going to be in the 2026 part. But no Nathan Fillion yet. He's confirmed, by the way, for Mr. Miracle, and also they confirmed he's getting a haircut for Man of Tomorrow. So shout out to
Guy Gardner. Wow, moving on up. Support your local barber.
Hey, speaking of libraries.
Show notes. I don't know. I feel a way about Sinestro being so early. But I also feel like the reveal, spoiler warning, Manhunters and the Guardians, like this son.
Right.
I feel like that reveal is going to mean less if Hal already distrusts the Guardians.
Sure. But I think, I don't know. It is interesting that he goes straight to Sinestro because, you know, one of the theories for what happened in 06 is that that's when Sinestro, you know, went bad was in 06, which would be an interesting, like a fascinating choice to have that be 30 years into Hal's career instead of early on. I think it really affects things, but like, you know, I think in the comics, like in the John's run, you know, like which I'm reading through Hoopla, through my local library, it does feel like, you know, he really was pushing that Hal and Sinestro were very close. I think we always kind of in the past pre-Johns had like Sinestro trained Hal and they had a closeness, but like, you know, I just read issue like 7 or 8 of the John's run, and it's like, you know, Mongol comes and gives this like psychedelic thing to Hal and Oliver Queen, and they see, like, you know, they're in this world that's like their ideal world, and in that world Hal and Sinestro are best friends. You know, like he's like, so like, you know, I think they're drawing from that kind of stuff of like Hal like really cares about Sinestro in a way that I think we never saw pre-rebirth.
Sure.
And I think it's interesting. It's you know, it's kind of like a Hannibal Lecter type relationship, right? Is I think what they're setting up here with Sinestro.
And I think it's the, okay, without getting too far into this, but I think the relationship between Hal and Sinestro, trainer and trainee,
yeah,
and then Hal and John, trainer and trainee, going to be vastly different.
Sure.
But Hal, you know, Hal's going to howl and just be weird about it.
I'm even more fascinated by the idea of a, like a full Hal flashback episode. Like there's so many,
get that.
There's so many little things about Hal that we're like getting, you know, nuggets here and there.
Yeah, I think we probably have to get that.
Cause like, obviously, you know, my prediction last episode was that in this episode, we'd see a Hal flashback. We saw no flashback, no flashback, no flash forward. It's all 2016.
Mm-hmm.
We also got very little of Garrett Dillahunt. Like he's in one scene, Purnajaganathan's in one scene, you know, like they're doing their stuff. Like she felt like she was doing a lot less, just kind of being somebody for John to talk to, like for John to talk about his feelings to. Whereas, you know, Garrett Dillahunt kind of, we got the shift of, you know, hey, like
I don't want
part for me. I don't need you anymore. We're good.
Is it too soon to predict that the Manhunter is Pruna?
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my guess as well, is that the Manhunter is Pruna. Zoe Macon. We should use her character name.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
I think she is the Manhunter as well. Okay. There was a brief moment that I thought it was Hal. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. You write that out, pal. why does Sinestro know about John Stewart if he's incarcerated? One.
Yep.
Two, why does he perceive him as a threat? I thought for a second, I thought he was being like arrogant. Like he's the second greatest threat to the universe behind me.
Behind me,
like,
sure. No, yeah.
He's like, no, John Stewart's a problem.
I can understand why he perceives him as a threat, because there's like a couple of things of like, well, the Guardians chose him and, you know, Sinestro clearly doesn't trust the Guardians, and Hal, I think, has some distrust of the Guardians. And just like he is there to be a replacement, right?
What if Sinestro, big brain Sinestro, is like, John's a problem, Hal, just because he's Sinestro and he's playing with this guy, right? Is that so hard to believe?
Is that it?
Like it yeah, no, that's huge.
Really?
Fuck you.
No, he's a big brain. What if he's just trying to get Hal mad at John? Like, all right.
Yeah, because, all right. So if Hal, okay, I didn't explain it.
Sure. Well. This is the thing, like, if that's it, like, all right. Like, I'm sure, like, is there more to that? Like, I'm riding with you. I'm ready to be.
Hal distrusts the Guardians because Sinestro is incarcerated. Sinestro hasn't gone full Sinestro yet. Sinestro doesn't fuck with the Guardians, so they incarcerate him. Hal doesn't like the Guardians because they incarcerated his trainer. Hal is told by his don't do that because Carol.
By the way, he's not lonely. Clearly he's got connections. He's got Sinestro out there. Hal Nestro confirmed.
Also weird, you got a picture of Pope and not Carol Ferris. What the fuck? Anyway, slack.
Well, because they broke up, so like, you know, like, yeah, you get a picture of your ex-girlfriend.
It hurts
up
too much. Yeah. Yes. No, I don't.
Your wife know?
It's framed right over there. Okay, so Hal is told by his trainer, don't trust the new guy.
Sure.
That's what they want you to do, is trust the new guy. So of course he's keeping John at an arm's distance, you know?
Yeah, you know, one thing I'm curious about, has Hal been visiting Sinestro previously?
I'm sure he has. Look how fast he got there. One. Well, you're willing to go to Oa in an instant on a charged battery.
Yeah.
But you're not willing to take that flight to go get your battery?
Well, I mean, like I said, I think he wants to keep doing the investigation while, and like,
And what did he do? What did he presence. Do? What did he do? He moved a body.
Yeah.
That was in a morgue, which was probably going to be in a morgue 4 hours later. No.
But no, I think it's also like being Sinestra. A presence, being in town is like, you know, the aliens know the Green Lantern's here as opposed to the Green Lantern left his trainee here without a ring.
I think if you left, let's assume that Macon is keeping tabs on John and that they both, that everybody knows that they're staying at this motel, right? Hal flies off into Coast City, right? Or Oa. Either way, he leaves John, right? John's not a threat. He doesn't have a ring. He's just a guy, right?
Yeah. So you kill him.
He's not a threat. You don't need to kill him.
He's gotta be.
They don't know that.
Or maybe they do. He's a trainee.
He's not a threat.
Sure.
Anyway.
Or they do their plan while Hal is gone. Like,
if you're a manhunter and you're allegedly the greatest threat in the universe, right?
Yeah. Well, but like so that's
John
the thing,
is
right?
not a threat.
Sure, but Hal doesn't know that the manhunters are the threat, right? Hal knows there is a threat, and if I leave, I don't know what happens when I'm gone. There might be another guy here to blow up.
He knew enough to have that hologram.
He knew there was something. Because that was like he knew
maybe
that
this is a deep show.
He said in episode one that he suspected that Abin Sur was not in Nebraska on accident, that he was there for something. And then he says here,
yeah.
I think Abin Sur was bringing the manhunter and the manhunter, you know, whatever. So like he was monitoring Nebraska, not because he knew it was a manhunter, because he knew it was something that Abin Sur was monitoring. Yeah. And he's like, I just need to keep an eye on that area. And 30 years later, the Manhunter finally reveals itself. And also, why did the Manhunter wait 30 years to reveal itself?
He didn't reveal himself.
Or like to do any, like for any, that's true. Sorry, you're right. Because it was, but like.
Why did the alien show up now to suspect him of being
maybe they just took him a long time to find him, right? Like they didn't know where he was. They didn't know he was on Earth.
You think?
That's what I think.
I don't know. I feel like they knew in general, but maybe. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't. Yeah.
How'd you enjoy it?
It was a good episode. It was a lot of like building, you know, a lot of like where, you know, we're just like, we're learning stuff. We're going to see stuff. You know, there was a lot of fascinating like
elements.
Yeah. Like what's going on here. Certainly building the mystery. It was cool to, you know, like to see the lantern, to see Hal recharge. Like I was glad to see, and again, really interesting to like how he threw the oath away. Clearly, that was, you know, more intriguing of like Hal's past and what's going on there. Mm-hmm. You know, John having the bird construct following him around the whole time. Like I thought that was a pretty cool way to use. And at the end of the episode, Hal's like, well, that bird must mean something. He's like, it's just a construct.
Just a bird, bro.
Yeah. And I wonder who's right. Like, is Hal right? There's something in John's subconscious with that bird, or was John just like, nah, man, it's just I wasn't thinking about it. Like, it's just a bird.
I think this is, like I alluded to earlier, three things can be true. Yeah, it's pretty impressive that John did that shit. Two, it's probably something deep in there. We'll get in a flashback, right? And then three, it's pretty epic that you were able to do that, which foreshadowed Sinestro saying what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. John's a badass. I welcome it.
What'd you think about Aaron Pierre in this episode? He had a lot more, like, it wasn't in Hal's shadow in the episode.
That's true. Got a fight scene and everything. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. It really. Yeah. This is the episode you do show the kid coming off a Justice League movie or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
You gotta do some cuts, but yeah.
Like, let's start with episode two.
Well, you gotta kind of fast forward past the, you know, the morgue penises and
Daddy, what was that? It's a doodle.
Yeah. How's your middle one going to be by the time Man of Tomorrow comes out? Not old enough for even Man of Tomorrow.
Four.
Right? Yeah.
Today we just watched Toy Story, so sure. we got a long way to go.
Great movie. Great movie.
There's a lot of adult shit. There's a noose in Toy Story, bro.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
Incredibles coming soon, I'm sure. Right down the pike.
Listen, we're gonna start with Star Wars. I got a calendar and everything.
you're gonna do Star Wars before the Incredibles?
77. Let's go.
Any other thoughts on this episode?
I really don't, much to my dismay, I really care less about Sheriff Kane. You made that tie to Gotham, and now I'm like, oh, is this supposed to be Batwoman?
I don't think she's supposed to be Batwoman. I think maybe she's supposed to be related to Bat. But like also in the first episode, like she's on the phone with somebody and she says, give Barb my best. So like she's talking to Gordon clearly. Like, you know, there's stuff going on.
I hate that. Like, if this was a comic book, fine. Great. Make it tie in. You're already doing a lot of lore and a lot of work. Don't and this is nitpicky for sure, but you don't need to dump that load on that character, and hopefully they don't. But no, it's a fine episode. I think, like you said, Aaron Pierre was a solid John. Hal was still funny, more jokey and still less funny, or less comedy this episode.
Yeah,
but the mystery is holding. It's holding. So, and it's less about how's gonna die. I thought we were gonna get a flash forward
right
when he took that bullet, but we didn't.
Oh, sure.
So
yeah. That would have made sense. How do you feel about the flying in this episode? Because you were kind of not a fan of it in the last episode. It's similar in this episode, but
similar. It's I'm over it. You know?
Yeah. We did get a little bit of like a green as he was flying out into space.
Let's talk visuals real quick. The science sales shit looks trash.
I think it looks fine. It's whatever.
But I'm saying, like, you have a chance to do something cool, and the coolest thing they did was slightly turn the camera sideways as he walked. I was like, what are we doing?
I don't know. I don't care about the science. I care more about like the central power battery and stuff like that. I'm curious.
Which was also kind of ugly. Oh, no, you're talking about central. I'm thinking
we can talk about the Hal's power battery. I thought it was fine. It looked like a lantern. I agree. I would have rather it looked like
something
the power
iconic.
Battery. Yeah, for sure. I get that.
Anyway, it should be alien, which is fine. That's fine. I'm nitpicking.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Do you want to give an overall number on the episode?
7.
Is that going to stay at 7 or are we going to?
I'm a hard man to please. I save my 8s and 9s for The Wire.
Sure.
Okay.
You know, our friend, anyway, I was talking to one of our friends about it, and she was like, it reminded me of The Wire, which is surprising. I don't know.
Cut her off. She is not a friend. This is a manhunter.
I think it was a good episode. I would say like a 7.5, maybe up to an 8, but like I would say 7.5. It's we're building, we're pace, we're setting, you know, what's going on. We'll see next episode. I think, you know, we'll probably get a lot more. And like, I don't know. I you're right. Doing Sinestro so quickly is like
shocking.
We gotta do something, you know. if we're seeing Sinestro at the end of episode 2, like if we're not stretching so much that we're saving that for episode 3 or 4, if we're doing that at the end of episode 2, then like something's, you know. So I'm excited for the future of this season, and we'll see. Real quick, we got the news that we knew was coming, but was finalized finally and announced today, which is The People vs. Gorilla Grodd is the next confirmed TV series in the DC universe. It's going to star Skylar Gisondo reprising his role as Jimmy Olsen, as well as Beck Bennett as Steve Lombard, Michaela Hoover's Cat Grant, Wendell Pierce as Perry White, and Jimmy Tatro as Gorilla Grodd. The word on the street is that it's very inspired by American Vandal, which also starred Jimmy Tatro.
Fantastic fucking show. I thought it was real for like the first four episodes. Man, I love American Vandal.
I think it's really interesting to choose Jimmy Tatro as the guy in your American Vandal show, you know?
I mean, but he's Grot, so he's just, sure. Surely he's a giant gorilla.
And by the way, I like Jimmy Tatro. He's certainly not who I picture as Gorilla Grot.
Or the voice, you know?
Yeah. The body, honestly, more so. Like, he's like a, you know, kind of a built
he's
dude.
He's a big dude, yeah, yeah.
But like, the voice of Gorilla, like, he's like, you know, he's a funny guy.
He's
I like
him
a lot.
The opposite of what I would think a super intelligent gorilla would sound like.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really interested, like, you know, it's like I was saying earlier with like the Green Lantern suit of like, we're deciding now this is what Gorilla Grodd is, right? And maybe we never see Gorilla Grodd again. I don't know. But like, we're deciding this is like, you know, the implication for the future of the universe. And like, what what is that? I don't know.
We should mention, this announcement is right off the heels of HBO Warner Brothers just announcing that 9.3 million people watched that first episode of Lanterns.
Huge number.
Top five HBO debut of all time. HBO Max debut of all time. That's insane. We've had seven incredible, well, no, I can't count Game of Thrones because it's one debut, right? But up there with House of the Dragon, up there with Game of Thrones, up there with what's coming out recently? Any Curb, the new Curb, the new the Pit. Well, I don't expect the Pit to have big numbers, but it is a very
known show.
Was the thing debut specifically? It was debut.
Okay, I mean the Pit like obviously had the Noah Wiley, you know, kind of juice connection behind it. But I think the season two premiere, the Pit probably did huge numbers. Season one, I think. Probably did well, but like not.
Crazy. Shout out to The Pit season three coming January 27th.
Sure. I'm excited for it too. We're just not getting paid to be shouting out The Pit, you know?
I'm like, getting paid to shout out The Pit.
From HBO Latin America.
inside jokes, yes.
But yeah, I mean, it's sick as hell that like, and like the public response, incredible. The way people are like, it's in the zeitgeist, you know, like
it is. There are talking Green about Lantern memes.
There are memes.
The funniest one I've seen is the guy that stands up in the middle of the town crowd.
And that's Hal in this episode.
It fits so good.
Mine was the interrogation. Like, really, as a Star Wars fan, that's the breadth of your opinion on The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi was a 2017 movie. It was directed by Rian Johnson. There's some controversy in the fan base. Like
controversy about a casino. Sure. Oh my gosh. Congratulations to the team. This made Much Ado About Nothing. The writer of this episode, Vanessa Batten, I forgot her hyphenated last name.
Kelly. Vanessa Batten Kelly and Kelly. Chris Mundy were the two writers on the episode.
She's also listed as producer. I didn't expect that.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, good for her. I just noticed that during the credits, and I was just like, huh, that's a good thing for the future, you know, because allegedly Lindelof and Mundy aren't going to be here. Right. So right.
Yeah, and that's something we didn't talk about. I think you predicted that, and then it came true. Basically, that if this gets a second season, Lindelof and Kim.
Yeah. I fully expect Tom King to take the check and be back for season two.
Well, Mundy is definitely like already getting a writer.
Mundy is the showrunner.
Mundy's back for season two. Right. Lindelof. Almost certainly not coming back. King is probably not coming back. Maybe he takes a check. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But like, he's also working on other, you know, he's doing the Mr. Miracle show. Like, he got
the Supergirl check. He's fine. He's fine.
This episode, by the way, same as last episode, was directed by James Hawes.
That's right. Miracle. Mr. Miracle is based off of his work as well, right?
Yeah. And he's also like writing on the show. I think he might be finessed this industry.
What the fuck? This is the same guy that put Kyle in a fucking jail cell in this. What is it, Omega Lanterns? Like, what the fuck?
All you gotta do is join the CIA, and you can be DC's favorite.
Just start out small. Write a Nightwing comic, guys. Write a Nightwing comic. You'll go far.
It also, by the way, did outpace the Penguin. It did not hit House of the Dragon numbers, but it was like it's up there.
It's top five HBO debuts.
Top five HBO is the
is. HBO is here, guys. It's here. It's top. It's
now, top does that shit. Include Max debuts or only HBO Max debuts?
Is this the purple era? Is this the black?
Black era. The blue era.
The blue era. Ugh. What a shit show.
You know, it's this interesting thing that like HBO and Disney Plus are doing, and I think Prime is doing as well, and that Netflix doesn't do. And like if a Netflix, like where it's a week to week release, right? And like if Netflix gets a real hit, One Piece is like a real hit, like on the nerd spectrum, right? Stranger Things early seasons were real hits where like people were talking about them, and like anything else. Like Narcos was a real hit, you know, but like a lot of other Netflix shows will come out and like 3 years later, they'll be like, oh yeah, they were the star of Kyle Chandler was the star of a Netflix show. I'm like, oh, okay. If you say so, like it was 10 years ago and I still like, you know, cause like nobody talks
still
about
haven't got around to watching Bloodlines. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. I started Friday Night Lights, you know?
Because of Lanterns?
Yeah, because Kyle Chandler was so good. I was like, let me watch this. Let me finally at least start watching Friday Night Lights.
You don't even like football.
Yeah, that's true. I will say, compared to when Friday Night Lights was on the air, I didn't understand football. At least I know the rules a lot better now than I did in 2003.
Sure. Listen, we welcome you all the same.
And by the way, I'm gonna put on the podcast here, Scott Porter for Barry Allen.
Yeah. Okay. Let's wrap that up.
It was my pick 20 years ago, and apparently now it's back on the table. If Kyle Chandler is 60-year-old Hal Jordan. Anyway, that's gonna do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. If you want to follow us on social media, you can go to Linktree, linktr.ee/glcore. That's Linktree/glcore. If you want to follow, you can check out our, if you're watching us on YouTube, check us out on Spotify. If you're listening on Spotify or other social media, check us out on YouTube. Check out our TikToks. You're probably watching, you know, maybe you've seen our TikToks. We got our merch and stuff all on our Linktree. So check that out. And we will catch you next week with episode 3 of Lanterns. And still then, stay green.
I have this magic green. It is the color green. Do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me and says, Hal, what have you done with your life?